Welcome to the NSCA Coaching Podcast, Season 9, Episode 19.
My biggest tip would be to put yourself out there and to say yes. Especially as an undergrad, if there's something that pops up and it's like, hey, we have an opportunity for a 4-week internship, or there's an opportunity to shadow this like performance center or this coach, or if anything pops up related to what you may be interested in, say yes as much as you can, because those experiences not only are going to help you build skills, but it's going to help you meet people and network, especially when you have, you know, such a positive experience, your name and your face will be in their minds.
This is the NSCA's Coaching Podcast, where we talk to strength and conditioning coaches about what you really need to know, but probably didn't learn in school. There's strength and conditioning, and then there's everything else.
This is the NSCA Coaching Podcast. I'm Eric McMahon. It's not every day you meet a CSCS coach and sports scientist who's working in the genetics department at Stanford University. Today we meet one, Dr. Morgan Smith, whose work with the WUSI Human Performance Alliance focuses on sport performance. Morgan, welcome.
Thank you. Hello.
Yeah, it's great to meet you and connect with you here on the air and learn a little bit about your journey. I want to know, what drew you to sports science?
Yeah, so I can start way back when I was a kid and playing any sport under the sun. My parents thought that was really important for me to just be in summer camps and sport camps. And so I was doing anything and everything. And I, you know, eventually landed on basketball and track when I was in middle school, high school. And from there, I had a lot of injuries. So I was always in physical therapy. So I was like, oh, I just want to be a PT when I grow up because I'm always here. It's so fun. I love my PTs. And so that as like the idea that I had going into college. And so I was a kinesiology major, still with the idea that I wanted to be a PT, but the more I kind of dove into that space, I was like, I don't know, maybe this isn't for me. And so I was kind of floundering for a few years at the end of my bachelor's into my master's of just figuring out what is it that I want to do. I know that I love movement and that I love kinesiology, that I started working as a personal trainer. I was like, okay, this is close. Like, I like working with people and applying my knowledge, but I think there's more out there. And then, you know, I had this random summer job that was in actually a school of medicine lab. And it was in a rat lab, but it was exercise science. It was exercise physiology research. So that was the first time I actually understood that there was a science behind sport, behind movement, behind physiology. It just never really crossed my mind where we get like some of our information from. And so that led me to the science part of it. And so I was always still like interested in working with people, hopefully working in sport, you know, like I said, I was a personal trainer, but I liked working with athletes or firefighters or something else. And so as I kept going through my academic career, and I guess I can expand a little bit more on that, getting my master's at University of Florida. And then that led me to getting a PhD also in kinesiology to kind of really blend that science component. And while I was there at Auburn University, I started a program called Performance Optimization Team with ROTC branches. So we primarily worked with Army, but we also expanded to all branches at Auburn. And that's where we got to blend strength conditioning. We brought in registered dietitians. We had like a mental performance coach come in and kind of talk about all aspects of wellness and performance with these cadets. And so while I was doing that, and I really wanted to do that because I wanted to get practical experience running strength conditioning programs for groups. So I was like, I'm just going to stay in SNC and kind of go from there. But I was realizing there was so much more that I could have an impact on and learn about. excuse me. And so that's was almost like the second push for me to get into sports science, because I was doing a lot of the science work and then I was doing just strength conditioning. And I was like, there's something here that I can blend these two together in some way. And so that was really the reason that kind of pushed me more into sports science, of being able to pull physiology, pull some kinesiology with actual performance outcomes. And so that's what I wanted to chase. And that's what led me to WUSI Human Performance Alliance to continue that journey here at Stanford.
That's interesting. For our listeners who maybe don't know what the WSI Human Performance Alliance is, can you break that down for us?
Absolutely. Yeah. So it's a six institute network of universities and kind of like research institutes that are pushing science into human performance optimization. So one of the main sites is Stanford University. And so here I also work with the Female Athlete Science and Translational Research team. So we do physiology, ideally physiology research for female athletes here. But there's also multiple other sites that do different things. So for example, at Kansas, the Jayhawk Center, they do amazing work in terms of like sports science and applied sports science work. But like University of Oregon is one, Boston Children's Hospital, and Salk Institute. And so it's kind of all over the nation. And so we have postdocs, they have undergrads, they have professors, labs that all work to op like what is human performance and how can we optimize it in various ways, which is really an awesome program, initiative, and network that's really trying to push human performance.
So, just looking at, you mentioned some of the stops you've had along the way. University of Florida for your undergrad and your master's. Then you went to Auburn for your PhD. And you mentioned some of the tactical work that they're doing there at Auburn University. Now at Stanford, all the way across the country, what's fueled that journey for you?
Yeah, so again, taking it back to when I was in high school, I grew up outside of Chicago in a suburb called Naperville. And my mom at the time, or like my mom was looking for a job at the time or getting a new job. And so she was moving to New York and she was like, hey, I can't get in-state tuition for you anywhere. So I can't really tell you where to go because, all the rules of having to live there for a year and whatnot. So I applied to a bunch of schools in the Midwest, and then Florida was kind of like my reach school, or like it'd be really cool to go there because it's in Florida. I kind of thought that it was on the beach, which was, I don't know why, I should have looked at a map. But I have some of my godparents live there, and it just like this seems really cool to be in a place that doesn't snow, that has really good department for what I'm interested in studying, has great athletics because I'm like still like a sports fanatic. So I was like, well, I would love to go to a football game there. I'm in high school, so that's just what was interesting to me. So that's what pushed me to Florida, that because I could go to any school that I got into that I wanted to. And so and I had some family there, which was nice. So ended up moving there. And then that summer job that I worked at with Dr. Karen Esser, she recommended that I get a PhD. And she's like, hey, I know someone that actually might really be interested in what you want to look at, which was Dr. Mike Roberts at Auburn. So she connected me and I did my interview process and all of that. And so that's how I ended up there through connections. And then again, at Stanford, I was like looking around. People kept asking me what I was going to do next. And I kept saying, I have no idea. And they're like, hey, you should look at the WSI Human Performance Alliance and you should look at their lab. So I just ended up at Stanford because I was just scrolling through all of their different locations and labs and trying to see who does work that I'd be interested in doing and how can I kind of add with my skills. And so that was also like a cold email to get into the lab and to get an interview. And so that's how I ended up here. I moved a lot as a kid, so I'm not used to moving and being in new spaces. And my family's pretty mobile too, so I still get to see them, and because they'll come out and see me, and I go there. So there wasn't really, I mean, the string that got me there was just my mentors pushing me to expand and try something new. So that's how I kind of bopped around everywhere.
That's cool. What you're saying is very relatable, I think, to everyone on the research side and in the coaching profession. We bop around a lot in this field. We chase opportunity, and it sounds like that's what you're doing. You also do some track and field coaching. Was that your sport coming up?
Yeah, so I picked up track and field when I was in middle school. And then as I was finishing high school, I stopped playing basketball and just focused on track and field. I was a long and triple jumper, and anything under a 200, not including the 200. 200 is a little long for me. And I was in Illinois.
Don't worry, it's long for me too.
Exactly. And I was in Illinois, so we had indoor. So we also had the 60, which I was like perfect. Nice and short, exactly what I like. So that was in high school. When I got into college, I didn't run track. I played club field hockey for about 3 years, because I still wanted to be a part of a team. And Then, fast forward, moving here to the Bay Area, and there's a local high school that I was just in search of a jumps coach that I just happened upon. And I was like, oh, it's in the afternoons. I can still, get my full-time job work done and like be able to, dedicate some of my time in the afternoons. And so I just like randomly picked it up 3 years ago, the first year I moved here. And like I said, it's been 3 years and I love it. I mean, it's something that I didn't really consider as I was going through my academic career of even though I was CSCS certified and like trying to get some practical experiences there, the other coaching aspect of sport didn't really cross my mind until the opportunity presented itself. And I was like, oh, I do really want to do this. Or I have a little bit of personal experience, but I have a lot of this like academic and all of that stuff. Well, how can it actually come out of the books and come out of class and apply to a youth athlete right in front of me? Which is so much so of coaching, of not just, strength conditioning, but sport too. There's a lot of things we see in research, like, oh, this is the best way to do this, or you'll see these adaptations if you train this way. And then you actually get into the field, you're like, oh, this is not feasible, not applicable. Athletes are humans and they do crazy stuff, or they don't eat or they don't sleep or whatever it is. And so you have to modify on the spot. So that's been really fun and a challenge as well, that I've really enjoyed.
So your postdoc is in the genetics department. I remember you mentioned that to me, and that's we don't have a lot of people in the strength and conditioning field working out of genetics departments. But do you get the opportunity to work with different Stanford sports programs?
And so my first year of my postdoc was essentially relationship building. So just like you said, I'm in a genetics lab, and they brought me on because I have this physiology experience, and they do a lot of omic work, and which is gets kind of way, outside of what we want to talk about. But something we can look at is inflammatory markers, which is a pretty clear connection to sport, to recovery, and really to anything in terms of sport. And so that's kind of where I'm coming in to blend those technologies and different disciplines. So having that idea in mind, when I got to Stanford and being a part of the WUSA Human Performance Alliance, I was like, okay, how can we figure out to get connected to the athletics department in a way that makes sense for them, that they're interested in, that also is like, scientists are interested in as well. So it was about a year of just having conversations, meeting with different teams, coaches, different professionals in the sport performance department, and just figuring out what do people want to know, what is a gap, where can we be, and where can we be an add, and where is the burden the lowest? And so by doing that, I was able to connect with the women's rowing team. Shout out to national championships this year. And we're like, hey, we have this project idea. Would your team be interested in something like this? And it was a few months of going back and forth, like, okay, we're interested in looking at inflammatory markers. How can we do this at practice? Okay, maybe this won't work. And so it was a lot of just workshopping with like in collaboration with the sports staff or the sports coaching staff. So that's been really fun. And so we have more like intense projects where like we come to practice, we do some saliva tests, we do finger pricks, that kind of stuff. We also have like surveys where we go to practice where it's like, hey, 5 minutes of your time, this is what we're talking about, this is what we're researching. And then we also do educational work as well. So we'll come in and we'll be able to schedule with their athletic trainer or with their their head coach, like times where our team can come in for 20 minutes, 40 minutes, and just talk about whatever topic the athletes want to talk about in terms of it could be human performance related, it could also just be well-being or like physiology related. So that's kind of like the three buckets of work that I do within Stanford Athletics. And it's not just within, it's with them as well. So a lot of it, was just figuring out where can we come together as a team to, produce something that everyone is interested in. There's a benefit to everyone involved. And then also we can publish, we can present on this. So it's been a lot of fun. It's been challenging. I've been here for 2.5 years going on three, and but it was all worth the time. It takes time to build those relationships and build trust, and you can't just hop in and be like, hey, give me your athletes so I can do a study. That will never work. So yeah, it's been a good challenge for me.
Stanford's obviously a powerhouse institution, but what I love about what you said is that you put your coach voice on and you talked about creating buy-in within the athletic department. A lot of times I hear from coaches that we don't have a lot of support from our academic departments or it's completely detached. It's nice to see that you've been able to maybe break down some of those barriers. And what's interesting from an NSCA perspective, we pay really close attention to career opportunities for coaches. Obviously, that's what we do at the NSCA. And today, there's a huge debate over the value of college education. You've had a very strong academic path. What is your message to aspiring coaches, sports scientists, students? Maybe they're in high school like you were, to get the most out of their academic experiences so that they're feeling positive about the path they're on.
Yeah, I love this question, and it's something that is on my mind and has been on my mind for years. 'Cause just like you said, I've been in an academic space for my entire, I mean, it's essentially an academic career. And so I think my biggest tip would be to put yourself out there and to say yes. Especially as an undergrad, if there's something that pops up and it's like, hey, we have an opportunity for a 4-week internship, or there's an opportunity to shadow this like performance center or this coach, or if anything pops up related to what you may be interested in, say yes as much as you can, because those experiences not only are going to help you build skills, but it's going to help you meet people and network, especially when you have, you know, such a positive experience. Your name and your face will be in their minds.
That's awesome. Yeah, I think it's encouraging. And at the NSCA, we want to really do a great job of connecting to a younger audience because I don't say that from a marketing perspective. I say it from a figuring out your life perspective. I was a young coach once and I didn't know about this profession until really a critical time when I had to either go for it or find something else. And I thought it was interesting you pursued physical therapy. A lot of students think that's the path they're on, and until something just doesn't click with them, or academically it's not a good fit, or they don't want to work in that medical environment. So strength and conditioning shows up on that horizon a lot, and we get a lot of great coaches from that career path. So I really appreciate you sharing that. It's important. We're always pouring into that next generation audience, even though you still got a lot of career left. Where do you see your career going?
Yeah. Oh, that is the dreaded question for any postdoc. I think where I would like to see my career go is blending the coaching with the science. And so I think that what that position looks like exactly, I'm not entirely sure. This is like, you know, like my 5-year goal, kind of down the line of, you know, being able to, like, I have this research background, and there's definitely a time and a place for research. And you can always apply the scientific method to whatever you're doing, even if it's not technical research or technically research. And so I think being able to have that mindset and being able to ask good questions and then figure out a plan to answer those questions is always going to be applicable. So kind of relating back to what you're talking about is like if you're in the academic space and you want to transition to being more in strength conditioning or into sport, know that you have skills that can actually transfer. And so I'm open. I mean, like, I love working with youth athletes. So I'm like, maybe there's something there in terms of being able to build developmental pipelines. So again, kind of bringing in what I have studied in terms of development and growth, okay, and then adding that physiology part and then adding in that sport. So it could look like, you know, being a coach and being able to pull in, you know, that different aspect, or kind of diving more down into that sports science realm. And then something I forgot to mention, but I wanted to mention for your last question, is just especially if you're in the academic space or you're in research or you're clinical or whatever that is, being able to like offer your services or your mind or programs while you're doing that. And what I mean is like if there's For here, there's club sports systems. And I'm like, okay, well, maybe I can help you build a strength conditioning program. Maybe I can come out to your practice and help coach you up on conditioning or something and just offer your time. Because those experiences, again, are valuable. You can still like quantify them and, put them on your resume and say, these are what I was able to accomplish. So on top of saying yes, it's like just offering, like, hey, can I write you a program? Can I help you through it? Can I coach you through it? Whatever that is, an individual person, teams, programs, to just start to get that practical experience in. Because even like after I took my CS exam, I was like, great, like now I'm certified. And then it's like, okay, well, now you have to write a program, you have to coach it, you have to implement it, you have to track it, and then you have to adapt. And it's like, oh, okay, so let me actually put all these things to practice because it's different than what's, on the computer in front of you when you actually kind of get out into the real world. So that's also something I would say is just, again, say yes and offer. Be like, if you see a potential, go for it and see what happens.
I like that you said applying the scientific method to whatever you're doing, an analytical mindset, critical thinking mindset to strength and conditioning. That's really the world we're in right now. And it's not just purely loud and motivational, like we could say maybe it once was in the strength and conditioning field. We have data and we have testing and we evaluate our athletes. We're measuring recovery. We're looking at workload. There's so much that goes into the day-to-day responsibilities of a strength and conditioning coach. Obviously, at bigger institutions, you might have more resources. You might have dedicated sports science roles that really get into the weeds on some of those things. But I want to get into the mechanics a little bit of maybe your academic journey, but we can explore some advice for our listeners as well. What I'm hearing from you is that there's often more opportunities to grow as a professional than we typically think of. We think of going to University of Florida or Stanford and, okay, I want to be a coach, so I'm going to try to work with the athletic teams. And that is an opportunity for you that's out there, but not always an easy one to pursue. But club sports, for example, is one that is often left without a strength and conditioning or performance program. And there's sometimes those programs are competitive with some really good athletes, depending on the institution. Were you ever concerned with, okay, I want to pursue this field, just the finances of it, financial aid, funding, assistantships? How did you navigate that? And what's your advice for students that are maybe struggling with that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's, man, that was huge. I mean, just like you mentioned, it's like it's the path right now. If you want to be a strength coach, you need to get a GA position, probably with the football team, and then hopefully that will open a door. And I serve on a board for my department, and so someone that I serve on the board with, went to UF, I think it was about 30 years ago, and he was like, yeah, I made my way into the weight room and I said, this is what I can offer and this is what I can do. And now, that's not possible. You can't just, walk into that space, or, there's a lot of barriers that are like very valid to be able to like kind of keep those spaces separate. And they're super hard to get into. I was going to say break into, but not physically, but just getting into that space or getting into that bubble almost. And so, just like you mentioned, there's club sports, and also whatever area you're in, there are probably multiple facilities that are just looking for help. So like not just sport performance facilities, but you can look at like, are there club systems in my area? So not just club sports at your university, but there's probably different club programs, there's community centers, there's so many movers and athletes around you that, they're not collegiate athletes and they're not like your top level club athletes, and they're still athletes and they can still benefit from strength conditioning services. So that would be one thing I would look at. And just like the second part of your question, finances, it is difficult because a lot of the time you are offering your services and your time for free. And that's kind of part of the game. And it's like, if you compare that with either, I also worked at the rec on campus. So I was like a fitness supervisor. So I just worked in the gym. I love being in the gym. So I was like, well, I'll get a job there. I also worked as a referee through like rec and wellness. So you can take advantage of like on-campus opportunities within your rec and well centers, because there's a lot of times there's a lot of student employee positions that can lead to leadership roles. And then they do have GAs there. They have kind of that pipeline built in. So I would recommend that as well. And really any like on-campus job can be helpful. And then I mentioned like I got a summer job in a research lab that was like outside of my department. It was in the School of Medicine, and that just came through on like a random email chain. I know a lot of us get like blasts of emails, but just join the listservs. You never know what's going to happen. And especially if it's something that maybe it's an experience or it's a job that you don't necessarily have the experience for, still apply, especially when you're in undergrad, or in grad school. I always tell people when you're a student, it's the best time to explore. If you're either on an assistantship, you can take a class that's not within your not within your pipeline. You can audit classes. So you can, if there's like, hey, I'm actually interested in this, email the professor and say, hey, can I audit this? Like, I want to learn about this. So it gets a little bit away from the financial perspective, but just being able to get education and experiences as a student, I think it's a very unique experience, and you won't get that opportunity when you're not in school anymore. It looks a little bit different. So I just say like take advantage of that. And there's a lot of GA positions, TA positions in universities or schools that maybe aren't necessarily like it's not a strength conditioning GA position, but there's GA positions in almost all departments. And so a lot of times you can just kind of Google what's available at your university. And then, in the area, like I said, I was at the University of Florida, and there's a couple big gyms that they will hire interns. And you can count that internship towards your education. And so you can find paid internships, through your time, as a student. So I would recommend that as well.
So I heard this reference once, and you're a postdoc, so I think you'll relate to this, that the debate over can I afford to do a postdoc and the salary of postdoc researchers. And to get this on target, the point was that it gave you time to develop your career further. And it was really encouraging when I heard the person say it, that, look, I'm not making a lot of money, but I have time to develop and advance my career during this time. And what you're saying is exactly the same thing. Maybe at the undergraduate level or the master's level, maximize on-campus opportunities, volunteer, work on or around campus whenever you can. Intern. If there's no intern, maybe it's observing or volunteering. And I really liked what you said about looking beyond your academic or athletic department for those opportunities. Strength and conditioning coaches have great knowledge of anatomy and physiology. There's no reason you couldn't go and be an anatomy and physiology lab instructor, for example. That was actually my path through grad school to get that paid for. So I think it's one that when you work hard in everything you're doing, when you aspire towards a goal, you're always doing a lot of things to learn where you can. But I really like that message, because when you're coming out of college, your classmates and your friends, and this pours into the competitive mindset we take as strength and conditioning coaches, those become your competition for jobs. And what did you do during those 4 years or 6 years or 8 years, whatever it may be, to set yourself apart? What makes you unique as a professional? And I think that comes through loud and clear in this episode, is that there are opportunities everywhere, coast to coast, at every degree level, in every department on campus. And to take the time while you're there, investing in education, to maximize that experience. I really love that takeaway from this episode, and I think it's not just going to be researchers who connect with that. So I really appreciate you sharing that with us, Morgan.
And of course, and I think like the last thing would be ask. If you're not sure where to get a GA or a TA, or maybe you're having an opportunity that, ask, go up and ask your professor, hey, I'm looking for a like something where I can be paid to do this, or I'm looking for, Don't be afraid to ask, because the worst they can say is no, but it's still better than being in the unknown. And people at universities or at your institutions, they are there to support you. They are there to help you. And you're not just kind of fighting this battle on your own, especially when it comes to finances and finding paid opportunities. Ask your peers, ask a mentor, ask your academic advisor, ask your professors, because you'll meet someone that's like, hey, actually, I do know this. Or, they'll think about it a month later when an opportunity comes up and they'll forward it your way. So, just get yourself out there, say yes, and ask questions.
All right. How can our listeners reach out and connect with you after the episode?
Yeah, so you can find me on Instagram. It's goldenmo_. You can also send me an email at morgan@themoperformance.com. The Mo is exactly what it sounds like, THEMO. It's my nickname, so that's how it comes out. But you can reach me either of those options. I'm also on LinkedIn. I'm a little hard to find because Morgan Smith is, if you would imagine, a common name. But I have PhD CSCS behind my name as well, and I can send those links over. But either of those three options are the best way to get in contact.
Perfect. I'm going to add those to the show notes. Thank you to Dr. Morgan Smith for joining the episode today and sharing about how to leverage opportunities through academia within the coaching and sports science fields. These are important conversations, and we continue to have them with two episodes every month. Thanks for tuning in to the NSCA Coaching Podcast and to our sponsor, Soranex Exercise Equipment. We appreciate their support.
I'm Ian Jeffries, the NSCA president. You've just listened to an episode of the NSCA Coaching Podcast. Hopefully, it's generated some interest in strength and conditioning and the NSCA. If it has, get involved. Go onto the NSCA website, see what opportunities are available, and I hope to see you at one of our events where you can be the next leadership generation of the NSCA.
This was the NSCA's Coaching Podcast. The National Strength and Conditioning Association was founded in 1978 by strength and conditioning coaches to share information, resources, and help advance the profession. Serving coaches for over 40 years, the NSCA is the trusted source for strength and conditioning professionals. Be sure to join us next time.